Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go with me to John, the 18th chapter. It's really neat that this church, we can get into the Word of God. In fact, this coming weekend, we don't even have to step aside from Hebrews because the Holy Spirit has led us to a verse in Hebrews for this entire weekend that is just magnificent for Easter. And the Spirit of God, I really believe this with all my heart, whether you want to believe it or not, your business. But I believe it with all my heart that the Holy Spirit in this place is the one who's in control and the one that does the sharing and talking and heartbeat of God and expresses it. And he's the one that governs our services. Now, I just happen to be the one that likes to fool around, but he just likes to get the Word of God inside of the hearts of the people. And if that could keep your attention, then I'm grateful for his wisdom. I was reading today, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about some things that were kind of interesting. You know, sometimes we don't think about Jesus at this time of year, about before the cross, what was it like? Before the resurrection, what was it like? What Jesus must have been going through, his disciples must have been going through during this period of time. It's always a fun time of the year to look at and just kind of gather some wisdom about the things of the Lord. Because what's printed in the Scripture is not printed by mistake. It's printed so that you and I could see some things. You and I can understand the very heartbeat, character, nature of God. Now, if you don't understand that, and what I'm saying is that, then what is it that you understand that you're going to live your life by? I need to know what God thinks. I need to know what God says. I need to know what God's will is. I need to know what God's wants are and what his desires are. I'm just one of those people that don't want to live my life without knowing about the heartbeat of God for me and for this planet and the plan of God that God has for my life. I don't know who you are in this place, but you probably don't know this, but God has a plan for your life. Since the moment you were born, God has a plan. It's not a mistake that you are on this planet. God knows there's something for you to do and accomplish, and most people get sidetracked, never get to where they need to be, and never do what they need to do. But God has a plan for you. You'll never find out what the plan is in your life until you find out first what the plan is of his life. When you find out the plan of his life, it kind of like shines on your life so that you could see where to go, what to do, and how to be, and what to accomplish in your life. In John, the 18th chapter, here's Jesus. He's been brought before Pontius Pilate. Pontius has already been warned by his wife that she has heard probably, and I don't know this for a fact, but she's heard probably some stories about Jesus, and you know she knows that the ruler of the synagogue by the name of Cephas has now had Jesus arrested and brought him to Pontius Pilate. He's the governor over the area as a Roman. He's not a Jew. And he finds himself in a real predicament. He's got his wife on one side that says, you know, let me tell you something, honey. I'm just paraphrasing what I think now. She could have said, let me tell you something, jerkroid. But I don't think so. Probably honey. Here's what I want you to do is watch yourself with this guy, Jesus. He says he's the Son of God. They say he's the King of the Jews. And he probably shrugged his shoulders and never thought much about it, not thinking much of the Jewish people being a Roman, actually being a tough guy as he is. Didn't care too much about it, probably didn't think much, but then she said something probably to him. This guy proves who he is by the miracles that follow him. Blind eyes open, deaf people hear, the dead are raised from the dead. He brought miracles of feeding the thousands. I mean, the stories are unbelievable about him. He's even got the attention of the religious leaders of the day. And you don't want to get involved with him or you're going to be in trouble. So he tries really to kind of get out of this whole thing. But you know, there's something about men. Men have a pride about them. I know you women don't know that. And there's something about inside of a guy, you know, he's going to be a bit macho about his position, especially when you're a ruler over an area like that. You know, you're kind of the chief big dog, you know, and you want to really act it out and be that way. And he's going to call Jesus before him and kind of say some things to Jesus and ask Jesus some questions. And he's really trying to evaluate Jesus, really trying to find out what's going on with Jesus, but he doesn't get very far because Jesus answers him in questions that, with questions and also answers him with statements that are really fascinating. Those statements, those questions are really in Scripture so that you and I can see some real biblical truths about ourselves, not only about the story of Jesus, not only about Pontius Pilate. I thought we might just take a look at it tonight and see if we can learn something about it from the word of the Lord as we go to the John the 18th chapter, starting verse number 33. When Pilate entered into, if this is really a word that it's a pharetorium, which is really talking about the headquarters of the governor, his headquarters. Again, he called Jesus and he said to him in verse number 33, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him and says this, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Isn't it interesting that Jesus answers his question with a question? Oftentimes, we'll ask Jesus a question about what he's going to do, and you'll hear in your heart, if you're sensitive, a question about what you're going to do. And you need to be ready for this. And sometimes we're so close to, like this Pontius Pilate is so close to becoming a Christian and living life out. And yet, as close as he was, he missed it. And that to me is kind of a warning for all of us that we could, as close as we think we are to God, we could miss it. And we really need to watch ourselves on what he says and really look at what's going on. And if you will, follow me in this in verse number 35. And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" I could just see that he's really getting kind of bothered with that comment back to him. Like, you know, who you think you're talking to? What is this? I'm asking you the question. What are you doing talking to me? Asking me a question like that. Am I a Jew that I would think that you're the king of the Jews? And he says, "Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." In other words, he makes a statement to Pontius Pilate that his authority is not right at this very moment. That his position as the king is not in this planet, not here in this realm. Didn't say he wasn't, just said in this place he's not. And then he makes some statements that's really kind of fascinating. Pontius says in verse number 37, Pilate says this therefore to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." Let me stop you right there because he just made a statement about himself. He said, "I am a king, but I'm not a king in this realm now. I'm a king in my realm, in my kingdom. I am a king." It's kind of fascinating, isn't it? He comes along and he makes this statement, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pontius said to him, "What is truth?" In other words, here comes this, if you will, this snide little remark. If you ever talk to someone and say, you know, "The Bible's true," and they say, "Oh, that's your opinion." You know, what's truth? Pontius is kind of making a statement that everybody, that guy has his own thinking about truth. That guy over there has their own, that woman, that group of women have their own thinking about what's truth. Those people have, the politicians and the high priests and, you know, stop and think about the background of Pontius Pilate. Now, he comes from a background of multi-plural gods. He doesn't know which god is right, wrong, up, down, big, little. He doesn't know anything about that. All he knows that as he works hard and does what he knows to do, he'll become governor, and he is now governor. So he's worked his way into this position, and my goodness, stop and think about it for a moment. He lives in a world
world of self-exaltation. He lives in a world of pride. He lives in a world of thinking of himself higher than he ought to think of himself. And he thinks and sees himself in a position where he rules people around. And here comes this guy off the nowhere that says he's a king. That's pretty amazing. He's probably thinking this guy's an idiot or a fool to play with me like this. And he makes a statement and he says this, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. So right after he said that, you know, I've come to be a witness of the truth. And then he makes a statement. He says, "What's truth?" He gets up and walks out. Like, how rude is that? I don't know if you've ever seen it that way, but it is. And he says, he goes to the Jews, and this is where he finds Cephas and all the religious leaders of the day. Now stop and think about the religious leaders that took Jesus. They were right there again, just like Pontius Pilate, close to Jesus, but missed Jesus. I wonder how many people go to church that are close to Jesus that miss Jesus. I wonder how many people that'll hear the words of the Lord and never see it as truth, not thinking it's their thing and they should follow it or have anything to do with it, just like Pontius Pilate did. I wonder how many people call themselves Christians that really are missing it with God. Could that be you? Could that be me? Well, let's check it out. He comes along and he says to these Jews, he says, I find no fault in him, but you have a custom. And he tries to get out of it. And he says that you should release someone that you had Passover. And do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Now, I wonder if they would have said something differently if he had said something. But when he called him the king of the Jews, man, that ticked them off. But remember this. You've got to understand this from day one. This is the plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross. It is not the plan for him to be delivered from the cross. And most people would love to see Jesus not go to the cross, some other way to make this thing happen, but it doesn't happen some other way. Jesus knew from the very beginning that he had to go to the cross. Before Adam and Eve ever died, the plan of redemption had been formulated in the heavens, and he had to go. In fact, when Peter started to interfere, you know, and Peter started to fight for Jesus to stop them from taking Jesus, cuts off the ear, Jesus jumps in there. In fact, many times Jesus will look at Peter and say these words. You'll find him in Scripture. Peter, Satan, get behind me, because here you find a move of the devil trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. And anybody who says that he's a wimpy little baby that doesn't know he has to go to the cross, you're wrong. He knew he had to go. That's what he wanted to do. That's a plan of God. He's not trying to get out of it. And don't treat Jesus like he's a whimpering little sissy. He is not. He knew exactly what this was all about. He knew exactly what he was growing up for. He knew exactly the plan of God. He knew he was going to the cross. And you can blame the Cephas, or you can blame the Jews, or you can blame the Romans. You can blame anybody you want to blame. But I'm here to tell you, it's the plan of God. And sometimes the plan of God for your life and my life doesn't seem like it's really the plan. But it is the plan of God. And when it comes to pass, it'll change the world you live in. And then he comes along. He says, "You want me to release him?" And they said, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. He was a thief, convicted. He should have been, if anything, crucified for sure. But they chose someone over Jesus. It's amazing what religion will do. Religion will stop you from meeting up with the true God. Religion will keep you at an arm's distance so you really never get close enough to God. You just go through some systems like these people did. Don't think they weren't serious about their systems. So serious that they'd die for them, but their systems are missed. It. Then you have a system and you miss God, you've now got religion. And that's what the Jews missed, and that's what Pontius Pilate missed. Let me take you back, if I may, to verse number 37, because 37 says something really fascinating. You may have missed it. Jesus says, "For this cause I was born." Stop right there. When you stop, think about that. That's worthy of zeroing in on. There's a cause that he's going to express to you and I tonight that he was born for. Wow, I need to know that. He says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. What for? That I, listen to these words, should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And for this cause, he came in so that he can bear witness of the truth. Someone had to establish the truth. Because you have an idea about truth, and 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 we all can say this is true. And it might be in your world, but it's not according to the things of God. Oftentimes, it's your truth about that situation, but it's not the truth that Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means he is the life for all men. He is the way of all men, and he is the one who establishes truth. I do not establish truth. And one of the great things that I love about this church, it tells the truth uncompromising. If it offends people, too bad. It's still the truth. And I've taken that stand all my life in ministry. And believe me, I've run off more people than they stay. In fact, if there were the truth be known, we couldn't fill Dodger Stadium up tonight. We would fill it up 3 or 4 times. That's how many people don't want to hear it, don't want to be bothered by the truth. But Jesus said, I've come. Put verse 37 up again, for this very cause. I was born for this cause, and I've come into the world for this cause, that I'm a witness to the truth. I'm here to establish and tell you. I'm here to be an example for you of what really is truth, because you need truth in order to follow it. And then I got to get you free so you can make the choices as to what's truth in your life. Stop and think about it. Pontius Pilate had a choice, and he chose not to. Can I say this to you? And I'm pretty comfortable about saying this to you. Most likely, Pontius Pilate, his wife, and if they had any children, and the generations that followed his lineage are all in hell today because they were close to God but never got close enough to hear the truth and accept the truth. Because so many people don't want to hear the truth unless it fits their particular ideologies or philosophies. I like these words. Everyone who is of the truth. Let's stop right there and think about what he just said. Everyone who is of the truth. Have you ever witnessed to somebody that just don't want to listen to it? Or they shake their head yes at you and their eyes go somewhere else and you immediately know they're out of touch with you. They don't want to hear it. But everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You're not here tonight. Stop thinking about why you're here tonight. You're here tonight because you wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. You did not come into this place tonight just to play church. You did not come in here just to laugh. You did not just come into this place just to play games. You did not come in here to have somebody tell you little Reader's Digest suggestions or stories. You did not come in here to hear some internet expression about what we should be doing. You did not come in here to hear about a politician and what they think is going to bring the economy right. You came into this place because you want to hear the truth, and you ought to just admit it. Because you live in a world that has its own truths, and it may be true to the world, but it's not true to God. It may be true to society, but it's not true to God. It may be true to our organizational functions, but it's not true to God. And we live in this world where there's a lot of truth out there for people and ideologies and philosophies and for certain groups, but it doesn't necessarily, it may even be true in some churches, but it's not true according to God. And that's what this is all about. And he says these words, everyone, not somebody, who is of the truth, hears my voice. You and I have got to be in a place where we have got to be wanting the voice of the Lord. And that's where we're going tonight. Because Pontius Pilate wasn't of the truth and couldn't hear the voice of Jesus and mocked him because he was so into himself. Cephas, the high priest, and all the other Jews that convicted and yelled, those people that killed, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't want to hear the truth. You know why? Because they were not of the truth. They were of their own truths and their own thinking. What a hungry hearer looks like is what we're going to talk about. 4 things God gave me to give to you. I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, I want to eat. In fact, if I could just not be hungry. We have a society that's crazy. We're really not hungry. We all eat too much because we're nervous. Especially Christians. We used to smoke. Now we don't smoke anymore, so we do our nervous thing by raiding the refrigerator. But when you do get hungry, you do want to eat. You want something. There's a passionate desire. The word hunger means passionate desire for something. So this message is they who hunger for truth. And we're going to be looking at four things, what a hungry hearer looks like. Here's number one. A hungry hearer waits for God to speak. I mean, sometimes, guys, there are people out there that don't give a flip. In fact, some of you in this room don't give a flip about what God says. But a hungry hearer, one who is of the truth, wants to hear the voice of the Lord, is somebody who says, man, I am waiting to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I got to hear from God. I don't mean just when I preach. I don't give a flip who's preaching. I want to hear from God. Whether it's Deborah, anybody else, whether we're in a different church, whether we're on vacation. Man, we don't care. We want to hear from God. We were on vacation last year, went to his little church, probably had 25, 30 people in it. Told the pastor afterwards how wonderful the church was. Oh, man, love the word. God was a good preacher. I just love the word of God. You got to want it, waiting for it. I can hardly wait till Wednesday night comes. I can hardly wait. You got to train your thinking to say to yourself, I can hardly wait for Friday night. I can hardly wait for Saturday. I can hardly wait for Sunday. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Man, I tell you, I don't mind. I can hardly wait to get in there. I can't live without it. And I love what it says in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 34. It says, blessed is the man who listens to me, God speaking now. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door, just waiting to hear from God. I think that's the way you guys are on Wednesday night. It's really fascinating. We did a little video clip. The girls, Beth, I don't know if she's here tonight or not, but Beth did this video clip in our video department. She's really a neat lady. And when she was doing this little video clip, she was going around to different people in our church, just stopping them at random, asking them, what is it that you like about the church? And then she was so blown away by everybody's answer at The Rock that she sends out this email that just so blessed me, I couldn't believe it. She says, Pastor, you just cannot believe how many people I talk to, one after another, after another, after another, after another, one after another. And when I asked them all the same question, what do you like about The Rock? They said, every one of them had the same answer. We love the Word of God and the way it's said, the way it's said. And I don't care whether you're here or the youth department or children's department or whether you're with Shift or whatever, the Word of God is preached uncompromising truth here in this place. One after another, she said this in her email. She says, I would have thought they would have said, we love the way we feed the poor. We love the way we bus people in. We love the hospital ministry or the prison ministries. We love the way you'd have missions programs that are reaching out to 140 countries. We love it. She said, not one person, every person. We love the Word of God. It's changed our life. It's gotten down on the inside of us. And we were never taught as children how to live our lives like Christians. We were never knew what the Word of God had to say. We've had to make great changes in our home, our family, and our marriages. Oh, but it works and we love the Word of the Lord. Man. Blessed is the man who listens to me and watches daily at my gates and waits at the posts of my doors. That's you, I hope. If it isn't, tonight, make that kind of a commitment. The second thing we're talking about and what a hungry hearer looks like is not afraid of the truth. There's a lot of people that are afraid of the truth. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth puts pressure on them. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth says something that they may have to change. There's something about truth you need to know. It is the inspired word of God, and it is here for correction and rebuke. And if we're going in the wrong direction, then the correction needs to come and a rebuke needs to come to get us back on the right track so we do not end up like Pontius Pilate, having God in front of us and yet missing him. Man, I don't want that to you. And I need to know that the word of the Lord's going to cause me to shake my world. Cause me to shake my thinking, shake what my ideologies, shake what my parents taught me, shake what my family used to do, shake what a way I used to see and view life, shakes everything. And that's why the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old man is dead, a new one is alive. Ooh, I like that. Pontius missed that. He didn't want any part of it. He was a smart aleck back to the Word of God. Oh, well, you know, what's truth? You ever talk to somebody and say, well, you never know what the Bible really says. There's so many writers, you know. Yeah, and they all work together over 2 centuries. They all words fit perfectly together. Let me tell you something, man. And also prophecy that all fits and the Word of God that's proved itself backed by signs, wonders, and miracles. What else do you need? You just want to be rebellious, and therefore you are not of the truth, and you do not want to, like Pontius Pilate, hear the truth. And for some of us that are in here, you just ought to shake yourself and not be afraid of the truth. Will it change you? Yes. But it'll change you for the good. You're just going to get gooder and gooder. And that's what you need. You're going to love bigger and bigger and get blessed more and more. You're going to walk in newness of life and have direction and purpose and destiny. You'll know that there's a reason why you were born on this crummy planet and you're going to live here for a certain period of time. And guess what? You're going to eventually get out of here when the eastern sky splits and Jesus comes for us. Man, you're going to know that truth is good. I got a little Pentecostal on you there, didn't I? Proverbs 15, chapter, verse 31 says these words. The ears of the hearers, I love this, listen to these words. The ear that hears the rebuke of life. Ever come to church, the old pastor just gets in your face. You know it's true. It says stuff that rubs you the wrong way. Like, what's that all about? We're all used to having some preacher pet us, tickle us, tell us how wonderful we are. Now we got one in front of us that insults our intelligence, says it like it is. What's that all about? The ears that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. See, you can't be afraid of this stuff. You can't be afraid of it. Can't be afraid of it. I don't know about you, but Pontius Pilate was afraid. He was full of fear. If he listens to this Jesus, he's going to have to change. He won't be able to govern like he's been governing. He won't be able to break the bones and hurt the heads and destroy the families and be that feet of iron that's going to destroy and crush everybody around him. No longer will he be accepted as the governor. Because now he accepts Jesus. He couldn't do it. And men change. And men, he's going to have to do things a different way and think a different way and feel a different way. It means he's going to have to take a back seat while Jesus takes a front seat. And most men don't like that. Real men know how to do it, though. But the ears that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. We're talking about something, what hungry hearers look like. Number 3, rather hear than talk. James says, slow to speak. We got a lot of people talk a lot, never stop talking. Talk all the time. Talk, talk, talk. Shut up and listen to God. See, that's what I was talking about earlier, that rude old man. It's time to oftentimes start to listen. Rather hear than talk. I've got this verse. I've shared it with you once before. It's my favorite verse at the back door. I love the people that come to this church. And we've been at it for decades. It's not that we can't learn how to do things. We're always learning. But it really gets me that when someone comes who just visits and they get in my face at the back door and tell me what I should do. They may be right and maybe I do need to change, but they ain't the one going to tell me. There's still some man left here. You know what I'm talking about? And they'll come along at the back and you need to. And I say, listen, I got a verse for you. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Ecclesiastes what? Ecclesiastes 5. If you got a pen, you got a pen? Yeah, I got a pen. Oh, let me have it. Pen. I don't write it on the palm of their hand. When you get in the car, look it up. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Because what you're doing is you much rather talk than listen. Here's what Ecclesiastes 5:1 says. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God. And draw near to hear rather than give the sacrifice of fools. Not one of those people have ever come back. Ask me if I care. Oh, sorry, Lord. Sorry, I know you do. I know, but I'm not there yet. For they do not know that they do evil. Sometimes we just talk too much. We need to just listen. Last one for tonight. This is a good one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here it is, number 4. We're talking about what a hungry hearer looks like because Jesus said these words. He says that I should come. This is a cause to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Here's number 4. What hungry hearers look for. Number 4. Works at doing what they hear. I should have had the S behind the word works, W-O-R-K-S. Works at doing what they hear. If you hear something and don't do something, then what good is it when you heard it? The purpose of hearing is doing. The purpose is not hearing and forgetting, or hearing just to hear. You don't get anywhere with God and you don't ever operate in the truth unless you work at doing what you hear. And for all of us, it doesn't mean that's going to happen because you heard it tonight. You're all of a sudden tomorrow going to be perfect. It doesn't work that way. That's why you need to give yourself some space and some time. This works over a period of time. A little here and a little there and all of a sudden you got a lot. One day you get this, the next day you get that, the next day you get something else, next month you get something else, then you get something else, and all of a sudden, man, what you used to do, you're no longer doing, and you're starting to grow in God, and it takes time. And God is in this progression of working His righteousness inside of each and every one of us. We think we get saved, we ought to be perfect. Have you noticed that you are not? Has anybody gotten saved and sinned after they got saved? Don't raise your hand, please. Oh, my. The whole church on this side raised their hands. They're very bad over there. Watch this side. Let me practice on this side. Have you ever gotten saved and sinned right after? Has anybody ever gotten saved and sinned right after that? No. Yeah, what? You raised your hand. I told you not to raise your hand. That was probably yesterday you sinned. That's why. But here's the deal. We've all been there. And God's working His love and His grace and His mercy in us. We need to love each other during this process. It's not an instantaneous overnight deal. It's a little here, little there. We grow and strong because we want to hear the truth and the truth changes us. So if you're still angry at yourself for not doing what you need to do, give yourself some space. Forgive yourself and know that you move on. If you love the truth, eventually enough of it's going to get inside of you to make great changes and you'll be blessed as you make the changes. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I love this. Go with me in Luke, the 8th chapter. Just pop it up. I don't have any time. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 15. It says, for that one that fell on good ground, speaking of the word of God, that those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. I love that. I chose that word because in the New King James it says, keep it. Keep it. Man, you heard it, you keep it, you do it. You may not do it all the time, but you keep trying and keep working at it. God gives you the power, and all of a sudden, won't be very long, but for the things that used to hold you in bondage, used to do on a regular basis, you don't do anymore, and you're totally and completely free of them. Somebody ought to give the Lord a great big praise. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like Pontius Pilate. I remember the words of Jesus. For this cause I was born, it said in verse 37. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And boy, hasn't he. Everyone who is of the truth, that's us, hear my voice. And thank God, James, John, the 10th chapter says, my sheep hear my voice. We may not always act to it. We may not always do it. But we hear it and we know we should. We don't run from it. If God spoke to you tonight, give the Lord a great big praise, the Lord. We know that.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.